Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Listeners, if I could go back and tell my 20-year-old self something, I would tell myself probably to rethink white eyeshadow and over-tweezing my eyebrows, because it doesn't age well. But you know what does? Investing. I wish I would have started then, but it's never too late. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You know what else is great? You don't need to be rich to start investing. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. Basically, Acorns does the hard part so you can give your money a chance to grow. Sign up now and join over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay.
And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
That's right. Back in action.
Gretchen has been on vacation for the spring break, and I didn't know what to do with myself without you. Every morning, driving in my car,
no one to chit-chat with. Yeah, I know. I kind of like it because it's role reversal. Normally, you know, Tab goes on a couple more vacays a year than I do.
You don't call me, but I can't help myself. I still called you. I was like,
yeah, well, that's because I was busy entertaining.
No, I'm saying you don't call me when I'm on vacation.
Oh, yeah, no, because I figure you're busy entertaining. I guess you don't have as much to do. I think we go on different vacation types.
No, I just think that I'm a little bit more intrusive into your vacation.
Oh, yeah, no worries. Okay. I wouldn't answer if it was intruding. But we did stuff like dig for clams and then Gretchen makes clam chowder. You know, it's like labor intensive vacation.
That is definitely not my kind of vacation. Oh, that sounds a lot of work.
Yeah, it's like my dream come true, though.
Yeah, because you like to torture yourself.
I do. Yeah.
I tortured myself today because my daughter is in a volleyball tournament and... You guys, it is so long. It is long. And you sit there and you watch game after game after game in this auditorium filled with lots of people. It is 10:30 at night and I am just getting home.
Did you have the little boys with you too?
No, thank the Lord.
I don't feel bad for you, though, then, because I am just coming off of 2 days of travel. It took two damn days to get home. I don't know if any of y'all saw this glitch Southwest had in their system. Apparently, it was like a big deal. I was affected by that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. On the way there and on the way home, we had some hiccups too. But anywho, so I mean, I think I'm all about driving. I think I'd rather drive 20 damn hours than sit in the airport with my children. I think I'm such a germaphobe. I cannot handle it. They just touch everything.
Oh, I don't care about that anymore. I'm like, lick it if you want.
Oh my God. Let me tell you, I saw the most disturbing thing maybe ever since I saw the chick with her business on the counter at my gym. Okay. I'm standing in line at Starbucks. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this young lady, she's on the FaceTime with her boyfriend. I assume it's her boyfriend. I don't know. But the whole time while she's in line, which is already weird. So she kind of holds the phone over her shoulder while she's going to grab her drink. And I am watching her phone because I'm nosy. And you know what he does? Picks his nose and eats it.
No, he did not.
Yes. I'm like, what? Are you just waiting for her to not be on FaceTime because everyone else can see you? Plus, who does that?
Oh, my gosh. He for sure did not know anybody was watching that. That is so gross. Did you tell her?
No, I was in shock. And
how old was he? Was he like in his 20s?
Yeah, I would say they were in their 20s. Also, I mean, I know you're a big mobile order person, but let me tell you how it screws you at the airport. All these people put in their mobile orders, and so the baristas are just working their tails off, and there must have been a dozen drinks just sitting there.
Wait, at the airport, you could do mobile order? You usually cannot do mobile order at an airport.
Well, you can at the Sacramento airport, which is where I had a layover. So all they're doing, all these mobile orders, they're sitting there and then all of us are waiting. Like, we had no idea it was going to take so long because...
Yeah, that's bunk. That's why they don't do it, I think, because I would be that mobile order person and put it
ordering
through
it from
early.
The plane.
Yeah, but...
Yes. Well, I just barely made it to the gate in time because my husband had a craving for a caramel frappuccino, which he acts like he doesn't know what the name is. He always does that. You know that caramel drink because he's like embarrassed. I don't know. Anywho, so I, like a good wife, went and got it for him, but then didn't miss my boarding time because the heads in the plane were broken. So, so we were delayed. But, I mean, on the upside, it's better the heads than the engine because clearly...
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Right? Yeah. Okay, let's get this episode. Let's get this
party
started.
Yeah, let's get this episode started. This case comes out of La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Is it La Crosse or La Croix, like the sparkly beverage?
I'm pretty sure it's La Crosse, like the sport.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's a waterside town of approximately 52,000 people.
What, it's on like Lake Michigan?
It is on a lake. It is actually not on a lake. It's on, I think it's on the Mississippi River. But I could be totally wrong with that. So don't quote me.
We never.
I also did something real dumb today. Mm-hmm.
Shock.
I was watching one of these volleyball teams and the back of their shirts, I could see it said Kansas, right? Because all these teams are coming from all over. Kansas Storms. This was a team name. And then one of the girls' hair moved a little bit and I was like, oh, it doesn't say Kansas. It says Arkansas. Where's Arkansas?
You really shouldn't admit this stuff, Tab.
was like, oh my God, this girl was looking at me like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I was like, what? She's like, it's Arkansas.
Right.
Oh my God. I wanted to like bury my head. I was like, oh, because I thought it was the state of Kansas for so long. It wasn't registering and I'm really tired. So
we all have those moments.
Yeah. I mean, that was a bad one. Anyways, La Crosse, Wisconsin, waterside town, 52,000 people. Also, there's a college there. It's the University of Wisconsin, La Crosse.
Oh.
And that college brings in 20,000 college kids. So to me, it kind of sounds like a super fun town if we were, you know, 20.
I'm sure they all drink Pabst beer and eat a lot of cheese like they do in Wisconsin.
I'm sure they do because it's really cold. Also, I looked up the weather just because I know it's up in the northern area. And today it was snowing.
Yeah. You know, I've been to Wisconsin.
Oh, no. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you about it later. But yeah, I actually was named after the Nether Gretchen in the world. I was named after one who lives in Wisconsin.
Oh.
And if you're listening. Gretchen. Hi, Gretchen.
Hello. It's real affordable also up there. You can get a 2 or 3 bedroom house for about $200,000. But I think it's really affordable because it's really cold.
Yeah, I agree.
It was a great place to live for Barb and Todd Kenhammer. These two, they were the all-American family. Husband, wife, 2 kids, 1 boy, 1 girl. And actually, by 2016, they had 1 baby grandchild as well. Barb and Todd were super young grandparents, by the way, as Barb was only 46. Todd and Barb just had celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary. So they must have started real young.
Smart. Then they'd have the energy to keep up with their kids in airports, unlike myself.
Yes, and still have energy for their grandchildren.
Right.
It's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Barb was the lunch lady at the local school where she had worked for 14 years at the middle school, which I totally give her props because those middle school boys are crazy. Todd was a factory worker. He worked at a factory making aluminum cans. He also flipped houses and fixed broken car windows on the side. So it seemed like he kind of had a little, like some side jobs, you know, for extra money.
Okay.
And from what their kids and their family say, that these two were in love, they lived well, and nothing was off in their relationship. However, one day in September 16th, actually, 2016, Barb and Todd were in a freak accident. It was early morning. Before 8 o'clock on September 16th, Todd was driving and Barb was in the passenger seat when a pipe fell from a truck that was headed in the opposite direction than they were. The pipe bounced off the roadway and directly into the passenger side window where Barb was sitting. Todd had seen something flying in the air and even thought that it was some sort of like large bird. He didn't know it was a pipe at first. And so he had instinctively tried to block the object from impaling the car window with his own fist. But it didn't work. The pipe was a very large 53-inch long 10-pound pipe. It looks like a pipe that is for plumbing, if you can imagine. It's only like...
I actually can't imagine a pipe that looks like it's for plumbing. Most pipes are for plumbing, Arkansas.
True. Definitely true. I am really tired. So it must have been a plumber that dropped the pipe.
Okay.
You know what? I'm solving this crime right now.
No. Okay.
They didn't look for all the plumbers in La Crosse, and there's not probably that many of them because there's only 53,000 people that live there.
Right.
Anyways, Todd looks over. He sees Barb. She's frailing around, so he makes an immediate turn. He backs his car into a ditch, hops out of the car while the car is still running and pulls Barb out. He begins CPR on Barb, but her injuries were major, so he calls 911.
Hello? Oh, hi, this is the 911 center. You called me. I've got
you help now?
Yes, hang on. I've got police, an ambulance, first responders headed to Emmonsburg and Cooley. I need you to tell me what happened. Slow down. Did the car
work? Needs help.
Okay, and so your wife is injured?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And there was in a car accident?
Yes, a pipe or something came through a windshield. A pipe did.
Pipe? Okay. All right. And I'm going to connect you to medical information, sir. What's your first name?
Todd.
Todd, okay. And they're going to help you help her until somebody gets there, okay?
Hurry up.
And then you're going to hear a dial tone in the phone ring. Just stay on the phone. Let me talk first when they pick up, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Lisa 911. I've got Todd on the line referenced that accident at Bergen Pool in County M.
Yes.
He said a pipe or something came through the windshield and hit his wife. His callback number is the number on the header, 608-790-2360. So he needs some help with her. Go ahead.
Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
She got her, she's hit in the head and in the throat, I think, in the throat or something. She's got blood coming out of her nose and mouth and coming for red, big and blue.
How old is she?
46.
Is she awake?
No, I can't get her to her. She talked that first a little bit.
Okay, is she breathing?
No, I don't think so. No.
All right, sir. We do have help on the way. Stand
along. Hold on.
I want you to stay right where you're at, sir.
I'm going to try to do something with
her. Yep, we're going to...
I'm going to put the phone down.
I'm going to... Can you get her out of the vehicle, sir?
I got her out.
Okay, I want you to lay her flat on the ground.
I got her flat. I know I can't stay, but I don't know what to do with her.
Okay, listen carefully. I'm going to tell you how to do chest compressions. Place the heel of your hand on her breastbone, right between her nipples.
I know how to do that.
The other hand is top.
I know how to do that.
Pump the chest hard and fast.
He's got blood coming out of his mouth.
That's okay. Go ahead and pump it twice per second and 2 inches deep, okay?
Okay.
Let the chest come up all the way between the pumps.
I'll come back in a minute.
Okay, keep going, sir.
So once the emergency crew arrives, they start to resuscitate Barb, and one of the emergency workers says to an officer, hey, you know, can you take Todd away from seeing his wife right now? I want to play a little bit of the audio from the body cam of this officer, because I think it's important for you to hear kind of their conversation while Barb is getting worked on.
I know CPR first aid. Come on, Barb. Let's take him.
Take him. Sir, come on over with me, okay?
Go with the officer, sir.
Come with me. Who is this?
My wife.
It's your wife? Okay. What happened? Do you know what happened?
There's a pipe.
Okay. Come up here by my by the thing here. Okay. I don't know, okay? Left first responders and stay right here, okay? There's a pipe in the ground.
No, come out of that tree, off a truck.
Off a truck?
A truck or a trailer or something. I think it was a truck with a flatbed on it.
And the truck just kept going?
It didn't. I don't know if he fell into it.
I didn't see one. Okay. Were you in the car with her?
I was driving.
Okay. All right, stay right here. Okay.
Is she right?
I don't know. Let first responders and everybody deal with them, okay?
I tried to catch it.
Catch the pipe?
I tried to see it. I hit it. I went to hit it, but the windshield got me.
It came across the windshield?
It came through the windshield.
Okay, just stay right here.
Oh my God.
Stay.
We gotta hurry.
They're working.
She's not good. She's spitting blood out of her mouth.
They're dealing with her, okay? They're dealing. Let them deal with it, okay?
So you can hear that once he gets pulled away from being right with Barb, he's freaking out. officers start questioning him of what type of truck, and Todd doesn't really know. He says he thinks it's a truck. He thinks it's a flatbed truck, but honestly, he's like, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure, which I don't think I would know either. Do you think you would fully remember?
Never. I don't remember where I parked ever. So I don't have a real wherewithal of like details like that. Only unless someone's giving me the creeps, then I like laser focus on like, I got to make a description.
I know, but I'm thinking he's probably talking to her at the same time. And so when something starts flying at them, that's when they kind of pay attention, right? But I mean, I've had stuff fly off of cars and hit my car. Nothing major, but, you know, like rocks or whatever. And I have no idea where they're coming out of.
Totally.
I assume it's coming from the, you know, big rig in front of me, but I have no idea.
Right.
So at this point, the officer finds the pipe, which is laying by Todd's car. And officers also immediately notice how bloody Todd was. Todd's shirt is covered in blood. His hands are really scratched up. His knuckles were scraped like pretty bad on both hands. And he has some scratches like on his body. I'm going to upload these pictures on Facebook because I think it's really important for you to kind of have a clear look on what you're looking at here. Police are pretty sus right away, even when talking to Ken on the side of the road. They're thinking, you know, random pipe, husband looks beat up, wife is practically dead on the side of the road. They rush Barb to the hospital and they work very hard in the operating room, but Barb is left brain dead. Her family, they decided to donate all of her organs and tissue, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also imagine her family is totally devastated. This 46-year-old disco biscuit, and she was taken too soon. As the family is preparing for a proper funeral for their wife and mother, the police are trying to figure out how exactly this freak accident happened. The investigators send Barb's body off for a full autopsy and start looking for evidence of this truck that dropped the pipe. In their initial talks with Todd, he kind of doesn't really know. He says that car is going northbound. He was going southbound. They ask him about the color. He says, I don't know, dark blue or green. So police put a public service announcement out. Please come forward if you were driving at this time on roadway M, this date, whatever. They also found a horse farm that had some security footage that showed part of the street. The footage is really hard to see. It was raining that day, and those security systems, some of them are really good, but most of them are not. So when they look, they think they can make out Todd's car. They see a couple other cars, but they do not see any flatbed truck.
Okay.
When the officer was on the stand and he was questioned about the identity of Todd's car that he said he saw on this footage, he was kind of wishy-washy. He was like, well, we think we made it out that that was Todd's car, and that car was driving at 7:57 a.m. However, the security footage timestamp is also 12 hours off, so we're kind of figuring it out that it's 7:57 a.m., not 19:57 or whatever it is in 24-hour time.
Okay.
So this was a red flag that they did not find any flatbed truck driving in or around the time that Todd was driving there. Also, when they questioned the day of the accident, Todd said he was heading to pick up a truck that needed glass repair. Remember I told you he like repaired glass on the side?
Yeah.
Which is also kind of ironic that something would like impale his car that would need a new windshield.
Okay, but so it was, just tell me this. So it was clear that the pipe did like impale the windshield though.
Why are some tasks just so much harder than others? For me, I love cleaning out my clothes closet, but cleaning out my kitchen cabinets, forget about it. Seriously, it's scary back there in the deep, dark corners of cabinet land. And so it's daunting for me to even start to take on that task. Creating a will or trust can also be a daunting task to take on, one where you aren't sure where to begin or who to ask for help. But it doesn't have to be with trustandwill.com. The website is super user-friendly. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. When maneuvering through the process, if you have a question that stops you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. You know, it's just so important to save your loved ones time and stress by having all your documents in one place with bank-level encryption. I love having the confidence that comes with the peace of mind knowing that my family is protected. Stand up and protect what matters most to you in minutes with Trust and Will. Go to trustandwill.com/housewives and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/housewives. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Do you ever look back on how you've spent money and thought, I wonder what would have happened if I would have invested that? I have definitely spent my fair share on impulse buys that could have added up if I had invested instead. You know, people say that's why the best investor is a dead investor. Why? Because dead investors can't make rash decisions. They can't pull their money out in a panic every time they hear about a dip in the market. Dead investors are invested for the long term, you know, because they're dead. Well, Acorns is built to help you invest for the long term, and you don't even need to be dead. You can start automatically investing with the spare change you've got right now, even if it's just spare change. Let time do its thing, because the longer you stay invested, the more of a chance your money has to grow. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/clink.
Because I feel like that was pretty hard to fake.
The pipe was not in the windshield when the investigators showed up. However, the windshield was broken and there was a hole in the windshield where you could see that a pipe could fit through.
Okay.
So they ask him, where were you going with your wife this day? And he says, I'm going to pick up a truck from a friend that needed glass repair. They said, did your friend know you were coming? He said, no. He told me that just pick it up whenever, the keys will be inside. When they questioned this particular friend, the friend said, no, Todd wasn't coming to pick up my car. I had called him about my buddy's car. And Todd actually told me he didn't have that windshield any longer. So I wasn't expecting him to come to my house, and I don't think my friend was expecting him either. So the investigators contacted the friend of the friend, and again, that guy was like, no, Todd wasn't coming to pick up my car. So another red flag. As they dig a little deeper, they find out that Barb actually was due to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, and these two were headed opposite direction of Barb's work. Supposedly, Barb was never late to work. She did not call her boss that morning and tell her she was late to work. And at 8:02, the boss was calling her saying, where the heck are you?
Oh, and she's not answering.
She didn't answer, right?
Yeah.
Her mother also says that Barb called her every morning and she failed to call her this particular morning. I thought it was crazy that the boss called at 8:02. I mean, that seems really strict.
Well, yeah.
When investigators received Barb's autopsy report, their initial little red flags kept growing and growing until this one was a giant waving red flag. Barb had a laceration on her forehead, 3 lacerations on the back of her head. Her nose was broken. She had a broken rib. She had bruising to her clavicle. And a couple of her fingernails were broken off, and she had some scratches on her, like, neck area. The medical examiner said her injuries looked as though she had been in a fight or beaten. her hycloid bone? Hycloid? Oh, what is it called?
Yeah, I know. We all know what you're talking about. It's that one that is usually broken if you're strangled.
Strangled. It was broken.
Uh-oh.
Yes. So that is, that was, you know, looks real suspicious at this point. Also, how do you get a laceration, or three for that matter, on the back of your head when you were hit by a pipe coming towards you?
Yeah.
And what broke your nose? I mean, like, the whole thing was just strange. So they decided that they were going to bring Todd in for some additional questioning. They asked him about why he told them that he was going to One Friends when, you know, he wasn't going there. And Todd just acted really confused, almost like he didn't know where he was or when he was there or how it was. They asked him about Barb's injuries, and he says, no, she was not scratched before that day. Like, you know, they were like, well, could she have been scratched before? And he was like, no, she didn't have any of these injuries before we got in the car. He says he pulled her out of the car pretty hard, so maybe she got some of the injuries from how hard he pulled her out. I mean, I can vouch that she, you know, was dead weight, and me trying to even get my kids out of the car when they're sleeping is very challenging. And Todd's not a big man. He's kind of smaller than Barb. And Barb's not a big woman either, but in like all the pictures I see, she kind of is taller than him. So maybe, what? Maybe a bruise? But I don't think the lacerations on the back of her head would come from that.
The broken rib, the clavicle, that all doesn't shake out.
No, but the broken rib, I was thinking it could be from CPR. Especially if he doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
He says he also pulled the pipe from the car window, then got his wife out of the car, which I'm not sure why he would pull the pipe out of the car window. Doesn't that seem really weird?
Yeah, it seems like you would not even be concerned with that at all.
That's what I would think too. So they questioned Todd also as to why his knuckles were so bloody. He said it was due to hitting the window when he was trying to block the incoming pipe. However, both of his knuckles were scraped up, and his left one was much more scraped than his right one. So if he had used his left hand to punch the window, he would had to have come over the steering wheel to get to the windshield, which you wouldn't also do. So
I don't think you would punch a windshield in the first place. That seems dumb. I mean, I feel like if a bird comes flying at my car, I'm not going to like punch my windshield to like, no.
I'm going to like put my hands over my face or something.
Something like that. But no, I don't think my instinct would ever be to punch my windshield.
Yeah. So police also had two people come forward that were actually driving down that same road at the same time. One guy was 15, 20 minutes before 8 o'clock, and he says he did not see Todd's car. His coworker was at 8 o'clock and said, I did see this car. I did see Todd's car. He noticed the car because basically, the car looked like it had been backed into a ditch and the front was facing the road. So it was not parked normal. And so he said he drove by really slow to see if somebody needed help. And he did not see anybody in or around the car. He also didn't notice any broken windshield. And he said he thought for sure if there was a broken windshield, he would have noticed it. The car also was backed into this long grass, and investigators found some of that grass stuck into the trunk, which they think only would get there if you opened and closed the trunk, and you closed the trunk onto, you know, with grass kind of sticking inside of it. Mm-hmm. So with all these inconsistencies in Todd's story and how odd the whole thing was, they believe that Todd Kendhammer actually murdered his wife and made up this cockamamie story and staged an accident and called the police.
You don't say.
I do say. Mm-hmm. So the only thing, by all of these timestamps and the people and whatnot, and Ken calling 911, he would have only had 3 minutes to kill his wife and stage the crime scene of this accident.
Okay.
Do you think that's enough time?
I feel like maybe she was dead and he put her in the car.
Well, I kind of thought that too, but then I was like, but she's foaming at the mouth and like blood is coming out when they're working on her. So how does that happen?
Well, he just gave her a little extra beat.
At the end?
At the end, yeah. Although I don't know, because he doesn't sound very smart. I mean, this is like the worst plan ever.
It is the worst plan ever. It really is.
He didn't even get his friend's like alibi. I mean, call the friend and say, I'm coming over, even though we know you're not. I mean, figure it out. Listen to a podcast. Figure it out.
So Todd Kendhammer was arrested for the murder of his wife, Barb Kendhammer. Ken's family was and still is adamant that Todd is innocent. But when all this evidence was presented at trial, which it was, all of it was what I just told you, it sounds really off, like Gretchen thinks. It sounds off. And here's the thing. The defense was riding on the fact that the jury has to find guilt beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
But it doesn't always work that way. I know it's supposed to work that way, but I feel like if you don't give some other explanation, then people feel like there is no doubt.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So there was no motive. This is what the defense was like. Well, there's no motive. So you're going to have doubt, right? There's no, like, Ken was not having an affair. Ken. I keep calling him Ken.
They were Todd. Married, weren't they?
They were married.
That's motive.
Oh, it probably is. Married for 25 years. He's like, fuck, motive. I gotta get out of this.
Yeah.
He wasn't having an affair that they could find. He had no life insurance policy on this woman. There was no history of domestic violence or any type of violence at all. He has no record at all. If you saw Ken, you would think that there's no way this guy just killed his wife. But
he was probably really busy with work and his wife planned a long vacation and it cost a lot of money and he didn't catch any fish. I'm just saying.
Do you feel like your husband might snap also?
It's possible.
If you were married for 25 years, thank goodness you're not, he could have.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I will say we have seen stranger things on this podcast. We have seen people snap that you would never think have done. The prosecution also really had their SHIT together. They called up the forensic experts to talk about the injuries and the crime scene. And the defense made some good arguments with the prosecution's experts, but they failed to call any experts on their own. So at the end of the day, the jury sided with the state and found Todd Kendhammer guilty and sentenced him to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 30 years. So Todd's kids are absolutely devastated, as you can imagine, especially because they believe in their hearts that their dad did not hurt their mom. Mm. They have hired a new crew to help Todd, and you will never guess who it is, Gretchy.
Who?
Jerry Buting. Do you know who he is?
Yes, from Making a Murderer.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. So Jerry is now Todd's attorney and Jerry's wife is also on the team. Her name is Kathleen Stilling. And they are trying to get a new trial set for Todd with new evidence and ineffective assistance with the last attorneys. And I would say, you know what? I don't think Todd had a good attorney.
Well, if he didn't call any experts, and yeah, it doesn't sound like he did have a, I mean, clearly he didn't have a good attorney. But, you know, if I recall right from that Making a Murderer, I think those attorneys that they hired, if you're not familiar, it was the first round before now he has Kathleen Zellner, Stephen Avery's original trial. I think it set him back about $750,000.
Yes. So I did also read that his kids are paying for this. And so it is not cheap. And I will tell you, the investigators think that they are throwing away their money because they really believe that Todd killed his wife. I don't know if he did or not.
Well, listen, OJ has kids that think he's innocent too. So I get that, that sometimes it's real, you know, it's real hard to come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
Sure. But I also, you know, I got kind of a crush on Jerry. So
I know you do.
So I kind of don't want to think that he would be defending someone that was like real guilty.
No, I think he would actually does not think the guy is guilty either. So they have put together evidence of their own, like staging, like trying to recreate a pipe falling off of a truck and seeing the trajectory of like how it bounces. What does it do? How does it like, could it actually like fly up and hit your windshield? Because really that's like the first problem, right? Could that actually happen?
Yeah.
Also, they should have called experts. They should have called an expert to say like how this could, like how her injuries could have been from a pipe or an accident or whatever it is, right? So they are, they did get a first round to see if they could get a new trial. And they will hear in the next, like, in days. They said April or May of this year, if he will get a new trial. Also, I just want to explain how the defense sees how Barb's injuries could have happened, and this is probably what they will say if they get a new trial. Barb was holding a really large water jug, kind of like a mug almost type thing, in the car, in her lap.
Okay.
It's like a canteen, something like that.
Okay.
So when the object's flying at Barb's head, she most likely bent forward quickly to basically get out of the way, right?
Okay.
Maybe Todd's slamming on his brakes at the same time because he sees something coming at his car. Barb's nose hits the mug, which actually did have a crack in it, breaks her nose, and she hits her forehead on the dashboard of the car, while the pipe is flinging itself through the windshield, hitting the back of her head because she's bending down. The broken ribs come from the CPR that Todd was trying to give her. The bruising and the clavicle situation also comes from, you know, the CPR situation. Scratches are a little tougher. I don't know what to say about that. I don't know why she would have scratches all over her. And then the strangulation, breaking bone doesn't make any sense to me either.
Yeah,
like, how would that happen? I don't know if that could, maybe she hit her.
Well, maybe if she was flopping around. Doesn't sound like she had airbags. Well,
No, there's no airbags.
Yeah, because I guess they didn't hit something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
It just came through the windshield.
Well, I can kind of see that then. I mean, I can see that her breaking the ribs and the clavicle, because your body would be like so floppy. going towards the front end of the car.
Well, yeah. So I also think that they failed to do some like DNA check, like under her fingernails. Yeah. Right? They also didn't test the blood that they found on the dashboard to see if it was mixed with her blood and his blood. I mean, because if there was a mixture, then we would have a problem. But if it was just her blood, then, you know, she was the only one sitting there.
Well, yeah. And if he was going to do this at home, like I kind of imagined, and then put her in the car, because he would kind of have to do it like that. I mean, was there any evidence that he did do it at home? Because if you beat somebody to death at home, usually there's evidence.
No, no evidence. A couple other pieces of evidence that they found also was there was glass on the seat of the car, but not glass on her personally. It wasn't a lot of glass. So because the windshield cracked, you know, like split, but
yeah,
only like a little bit of it fell out. And so there was some on her seat, and they said if she was sitting there, why would the glass be on the seat? Well, I think when he was getting her out, the glass could have fallen off of like her clothes onto the seat. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Also, they said that there was glass inside of the gear shifter in a spot where only the car could only be put in park at the time. However, I don't really also buy it. I'm like, what if he was forgot to put the car in park, or I don't know, like he backed up. I think you can argue that too.
Okay.
So I think if he gets a new trial, I honestly think he's going to be, I think he has a good shot.
Okay. Well,
but I don't know. You think he's the murderer? I think it'd be too hard to stage that kind of wonky, freaky thing.
I think it'd
be 3 minutes.
I think it would certainly be worth hearing. And I bet he gets a new trial. That ineffective counsel usually gets you a new trial.
It does?
And, yeah. And I mean, well, that's what they all argue. And also, you know, if they have new evidence, that'll get you one.
Yeah. I mean, their evidence is that basically a pipe can do that.
Well,
and they figured out.
If an expert says it, it's evidence. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you could have an expert say anything.
I mean, that is also true.
I know.
But I am working on a case right now where they got a new trial, thankfully. So, yeah, it's possible.
Okay. That's the story of Todd Kendhammer.
Oh my God, you're having a Vanderpump Rules. You know, that's Lisa Vanderpump's husband, Ken Todd.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, I'm glad you're home. Welcome home.
Wow.
If you guys want to hear more of us after this lovely episode, you can go to patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. I promise I'm better than this.
Oh my God. We might be tired, but we never miss a week.
I know, you guys. We were almost thinking that maybe we would take a vacation, but then we were like, we can't take a vacation. Not on you guys. So here we are. We also are on Facebook and Instagram, and we're being way more social these days. Another thing, if you have not given us a review on Apple, I would greatly appreciate it. Gretchen would appreciate it too, even though she doesn't want to ask for it. She will be thankful.
So true.
And I will tell you why. Because it really helps us. It does. And so if you haven't done it yet, please just scroll down and give us a good star review. That'd be nice. And subscribe if you haven't yet. That's it.
That's it.
That's all I got, folks.
That's all we wrote. Okay. Clink,
all right.
Clink.
Clink, clink.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.